In this message, Pastor preaches from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Seven things from the blind Bartimaeus miracle to experience financial liberty.
Tonight, I want you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verses 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. Tonight, when I use this part of the scripture to speak to you one more time this week, I was not planning to, but the Holy Spirit impressed upon me that I have to preach tonight also on finances and coming out of financial bondage. Amen. See, if your relationship with your finances are not right, it can affect your relationship with God, and it can affect your relationship with others. So God wants to bring a certain level of freedom in your finances. A certain sense of liberty in your finances. God wants you to come out of every financial bondage. This man called Bartimaeus was in the city or the place near Jericho. I've realized one thing, that begging does not get you anything from God. Whether it be you begging him for a miracle, just crying out loud doesn't move God. Just begging, please Lord, help my child to get married, Lord, it doesn't get you anything. Lord, please let me get this job. Please, Lord, please. Now, it doesn't get you anything. What moves God is faith. What moves God is you coming before him as a son, as a daughter. If you're born again and saying, Father, I'm your child. I believe that you can do it. I believe your word. And if you will have that kind of faith and confidence in your relationship with your Heavenly Father, God will move his mighty hand to deal with miracles and signs and wonders and blessing. Amen. The same part of scripture in other portions speaks about Bartimaeus begging not alone, but he had other people begging along with him. other people begging along with him. Jesus did not give him money. Jesus did not give or put money into his hands. And I wanted to understand that God will never put money into your hands to bring you out of your financial captivity. I've seen that helping people with money doesn't solve their problem. Your financial deliverance doesn't take place because somebody gives you money. If you are bound, that finances, you wouldn't know where it went. And you will still keep looking or begging or looking for somebody to help you. Maybe take another loan, maybe call somebody else, maybe look somewhere else. So financial liberty does not come by money. So you have to see yourself beyond that realm of begging, in that realm where you're enjoying the blessing of God in your life. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, I receive my financial liberty in the name of Jesus. So what did God do for this man? Seven things. One, Bartimaeus recognized an opportunity. When God wants to deliver you financially, He will present you with an opportunity. He sends an opportunity. He heard a noise. And he said, who? What is happening? He can't see. Said, there is Jesus walking this way. He sensed an opportunity. He was not distracted. Maybe being blind was to his advantage. There might have been people sitting there checking something on their iPad, watching cricket maybe, looking at fashion. Recognize an opportunity. You know, I live in Cochin, and sometimes you go, you know, when I'm on my way to church, you come to that junction called Whitla, you come there, you park the car for the light to turn green or whatever, and you're waiting there. Suddenly there are beggars who come around your car. They come around your car because they sense an opportunity to get something. And I'm a giver, so sometimes I have got all the money ready. And I'm waiting for them to come. And sometimes you see they're so distracted by a two-wheeler there or a three-wheeler there or somebody else there. And they go around, I got all the money readied up. And by the time they come, the light is turned green, I have to go. I said, oh my gosh. The opportunity was there. They should have just looked at the best looking guy in that street and just just kidding. They should have just looked at the anointing or whatever. See, opportunity comes in different forms. Sometimes it might be somebody that you meet on the road, who, or somebody in a place that, who might not necessarily give you money, but who gives you financial advice, biblically. Sometimes just giving attention to the right information. There's a saying, when you are not informed, you become deformed. There are people who don't sense or receive something when there is an opportunity available for them. They go into a conversation and they are like, you know, what's the color of your shoes? There is somebody standing in front of them, or they are eating samosa with somebody who can present them with a business opportunity, but they are like, did you watch the game yesterday evening? Or they're gossiping about somebody. Or people who are just getting together to have wrong information, gossiping. People who like wrong information will always be broke, busted, and disgusted. I'm not gonna make a song like that. Broke, busted, and disgusted. But you gotta look at the opportunity. What can transform me? What is God trying to say to me? What is the opportunity that He's presenting me with? Bartimaeus heard a noise and he said, "What is happening?" They said, "Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth is going this way." He grabbed that information. There might have been people just scrolling on the phone while that was being said, or speaking with somebody who's close to them, or just laughing away at some joke. But this man said, "This is good information. This is good information." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Tonight, the Lord is passing this way. His presence is coming into your home. Glory to God. There is something that He can reveal to you that you wouldn't be able to grasp by your human intellect, but by your heart that is open before Him. He can drop in something. Even tonight while you're listening, the Holy Spirit can move around where you are and drop something into your spirit. And together with the note, you can write down whatever the Holy Spirit is putting into your spirit. Bartimaeus did not have money, but he had a revelation. See, revelation is more powerful than money. Why? Because he called out, "Jesus, Son of David." Who told him? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Jesus, you come from the genealogy of rich kings. David, Son of David, have mercy on me." God Himself calls Himself the God of Abraham, the richest man at that particular point, Isaac and Jacob. See, spiritual liberty, financial liberty is all determined by what you can hear, what others can't hear. What you can see, what others can't see. What you know that others don't know. That's where your financial deliverance takes place. It is not determined by your bank balance. This blind Bartimaeus knew something that the other beggars did not know, or his friends didn't know. "Jesus, Son of David." Wow. Some of you just getting a revelation. "I don't need to be in this pigsty. In my Father's house, even the servants are so well taken care of. There is food and enough and more to spare. What am I doing in this pigsty? I have a Father who wants to throw a party." Since the revelation of who your Father is, you know, we have heard it many a time, revelation always brings elevation. Somebody said, revelation is deliverance from perspiration. Why don't you quicken up? Hey, God can take care of my need. He's my provider. Glory to God. What do you see that others don't see? What do you see? We know the story long time back, you know. Once a footwear company sent a man into a village. That man went to the village and he said, you know, I don't think it's a good place for business for us starting a showroom because nobody there wears any sandals or shoes. There's another man to the same village. That man said, that's a great place for us to start a showroom because nobody there wears sandals or footwear. Both of them saw the same thing. But one saw it in a different way. Tonight, may your eyes be opened. See, you can never, never, ever see what God has for you with your old eyes. You know, when Paul, having met Jesus, encountered the Lord, he was 3 days blind. And then God sent somebody, a nobody, this called Ananias. Insignificant person. Has he healed anybody? We do not know. Has he preached to thousands? We do not know. Is he a big name? No. I've been blessed more by insignificant people than by very significant people. And this prophet, this Ananias comes, lays hands upon Saul. And the Bible says scales fell off. God gave him new eyes. God gave him new eyes. He began to see things differently from then on. You know, your financial deliverance always begins with a set of new eyes. The way you look at the scripture, the way you look at the kingdom of God, the way you look at the world. Lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit, give me new eyes, new eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. Just new eyes to see. Just to see new eyes. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. New eyes. Sometimes you look at people and they say, Pastor, for the last 20 years, you know, I haven't changed. It's not a good thing to say. It means you're consistently useless. I mean, you look at an ECG machine and it's going on a same level, you're dead. You're dead. Because in the kingdom of God, there is, you know, those peaks are there. You go up. There is a steady growth. Spiritually. Financially. There might be a season of testing where you're tested and you go on a dip. But then, boom, you're coming up again. It's not like 20 years, you're riding the same moped. Giving glory to God. Yeah, that is good. Nice. Amen. Hallelujah. The God is giving fresh eyes, new eyes to the church. To see windows of opportunity. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There are people who can't see. They don't know. They don't have a revelation. They don't know what they're convinced about, where they are going, what they want. After 20 years, they're still scratching their head and asking, am I really called? Who is my pastor? Is this my pastor? Who is my pastor? this the church I'm supposed to be in? Or should I be somewhere else? Wake up. I remember, you know, the very first time I met my spiritual father, I knew he was my mentor, my all. There were no two thoughts about it. I knew this is it. It is not every other week I'm thinking, oh my gosh, was that the right place? Is this the right teaching? I mean, is this guy teaching right? What are you? Why are you even listening? Stop that phone and go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some people say, Pastor, I'm still praying about it. I'm not sure, but I'm still praying about it. You know, whether I should join the church, whether I should get baptized. And you've been praying about it for 20 years. Jesus said to the disciples, come follow me. And can you imagine them saying, let me pray about it. Let me pray about it. Let me see whether I really need to follow you, Lord. Just let me pray about it. Can you imagine that? See, there's a window of opportunity for everyone that God gives. It doesn't last forever. Can you imagine the disciples say, let me pray about it, Jesus. You said, follow you, yeah? Should we leave our nets, our family, everything and follow you? What? See, you need to see your window of opportunity and you need to get into it. And be committed. The prophet would ask the Old Testament people, the Israelites, how long will you falter between two opinions? If Baal is God, worship him. If Jehovah be God, worship him. Be convinced about something. Have a revelation in your heart from God's word. If you have, you know, 20 pastors in your home and 30 prophets, let me tell you, we'll be very, very confused. If there is an option between choosing me and choosing some other man of God, choose the other. Please. Is Jesus the Lord over your life? And I remember when I had the revelation, when I came to know, I need to dedicate. I was 20 years old. Can you imagine that? 20 years old? What would a 20-year-old do? Either trying to make a career or a life or finding some way. But I knew from the Word. I knew by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was more than enough for me. Jesus is the most important thing. I need to follow him. Thirty-two years now. Financial progress, liberty comes when you step into your calling, when you know, when you have a revelation. Hey, I don't try to be a jack of all trades. I stick with what God has called me to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a financial frequency. That's the fourth point. Use your voice. If you keep quiet, money will go away. There is a way that God's blessings are attracted to you. There is a way that every Christian should talk. Even when you can't pay your bills, there is a way that you talk. Even when there is a need, there is a way that you talk. You don't bring your God to the level of your light bills. Are you with me? The money was in the mouth of the fish. In the mouth. So, Christians, believers, born again, people who are the understanding of the word, they know how to boast about their King, about their Lord, about their provider. And I remember once my mother saying, "Everybody thinks you have enough and more money because the way you speak." Quiet, but his frequency of his mouth began to call on Jesus. Even when you have a need, when you have a tremendous need, that's the quote for this, you know, that we're going to be putting on the Instagram. Knee mail is faster than email. Knee mail, go on your knees and send a mail to God. Bend your knees in prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift your head and say, "My mouth is to be anointed to speak life and blessing." Amen. Even when there is a battle in your mind, learn to be quiet or speak faith. The fifth point. When Jesus called this guy, he did something. Amen. Say, "He did something."
He did something.
Just having Schwarzenegger's 27-inch biceps on your wall won't give you that biceps, you know. You need to work out. You need to exercise it. Just having that. He did something. He left his beggarly garments. His old identity. His financial identity. Now there are people who boast about, you know, who are unable to leave their old identity. It happens to all of us. People like, they say, you know, my grandfather, he was a politician, a philanthropist, one great man. And he was. But the Lord said, "Son, that is good. Honor him, respect him, love him. Thank the Lord for his life. He was a righteous man, a good man. Because a good man will leave an inheritance to his children's children." So his children's children, his grandchildren, if we have an inheritance, he was a good man. But I'm not going to be keeping boasting about that identity and not grab the new one that God has given me. My, you know, sometimes people say, "You know, my mother was the teacher in that school." Great. Respect her, honor her. Oh, you know, in our family, in our locality, my grandfather is the first engineer. Great. Doctor. You know, we come from an aristocratic background, and you know. My grandfather used to take our pet dog to the vet in our Mercedes Benz. and you are begging. It's better to have a donkey than speak about your grandfather's Mercedes Benz. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Is this helping somebody tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of Jesus. Leave your old identity. Sometimes it can be even your friends. You know, you have to sometimes look at your friends that you have and think for a minute, what good has come into my life because of them? You have to be just honest to yourself. What good has come into my life by being in that WhatsApp group? 1982 batch. What? You got to learn to deliver yourself sometimes. What good has come into your life? If there is anything good, that is good. Glorify God. But what good? You might not like the way I preach. Don't worry. This is what the Lord asked me to say. The sixth point, he came to Jesus and Jesus asked him, what do you want? He didn't say money. He said vision. Vision is more powerful than money in the bank. Vision is not goals and dreams. Goals and dreams get you frustrated. Vision is different. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God's Word. Your money is useless without vision. What gives value to the money is vision. Embrace a great vision from the Holy Spirit. Provision comes where there is vision. Are you with me? Sometimes people speak about retirement. When you, in any aspect of life, never retire, even if you're 80 years old. Even if you're 90 years old, never retire. Because the moment you do that, you're getting your casket ready. God didn't create any man to retire in his plan. Find something to do. Embrace a vision that the Holy Spirit alone can give. Glory to God. Even if you are in a workplace and they want to retire you, that's fine. That might be the law of that land or that company or whatever. That's fine. But you keep getting a vision from God and say, I got to keep moving and doing. A beggar with a vision meets a God with a mission. Woo! And God, the Holy Spirit, will make them to meet. The junction is in the junction where they have to meet. Somebody with a vision will meet a God on a mission to prosper his children. To prosper his children. To prosper his children. Hallelujah. Sometimes people, all they want is not a vision. They just want to say, I just want to build my house and give it to my children and then die. All I want, Pastor, is to get married. Just marry someone. That's not what is important. Marriage will happen if you have a vision. House will be built, and just not one house. God might give you more than one house if vision is there. But if the goal in life and dream in life and focus in life is just, you're missing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I close with this. He followed one person. Follow one person. Don't follow too many people. Look at that scripture in Mark 10, verse 52. Just read that. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. The next verse. And immediately he received his sight
and followed Jesus in the way.
And followed just one person. Just followed Jesus in the way. The Lord said, go your way. He said, no. Jesus said, go anywhere you want, man. You're healed. Go. He followed Jesus. Don't follow 10,000 people to have success. If you watch my Instagram, I only follow my wife. That's where my success is. Glory to God. Amen. Save yourself from a complicated life. Are you with me? You don't complicate things. You follow 100 pastors, 100 prophets, all the Instagram pages across the world. You have two people following you and you're following 3,000 people. You're getting yourself all muddled up. This man said, I'm not going to go back to that pavement again. That was faith. I'm not going back to that cursed Jericho again. I'm going to be following Jesus for the rest of my life. I'm going to be following Jesus for the rest of my life. I'm going to be in this church. I'm going to be, that is my man of God. That is, see, when you come to that kind of focus, let me tell you, you are in a way freeing the hands of God to function forth for you. Mark my words, that is wisdom.